We are in our series called Armed and Dangerous. And in this series, it is critically important that we understand what our destiny, our God's plan for our life is, so that we may walk in it with authority and might. And as you have seen, by simply revealing the truth about who you are, things have changed in people's lives in just 1 week. Life has come back to so many people in just 1 week. It is one of those things where Jesus says, I am the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, meaning that we give life, we produce life, and as we were quickened in Christ, we now have the quickening spirit, the spirit that has the ability to give life to other people, not only to other people, but to ourselves. We are the fountain of which Jesus spoke. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It is providing life for those who are around us. In heaven, it's described as the crystal river that flows from the throne of God. And we know that river is alive in us today. And I want to just remind you of who you are and what God has for you, that you don't have to stress. You don't have to press in. You don't have to say, man, this, I gotta do something to get this. This was given to you. When someone gives you something, it doesn't have a return address. It means it belongs to you, and what you do with it is up to you. It is yours, and nobody can take it away. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, meaning when He gave you who you are and what you're supposed to do, He knew what gift He was giving you, and He doesn't make apologies for what's in you. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. I want you to turn to your Bibles, please, and I want to talk to you today again about an open heaven, a heaven in which we must armor up. We must recognize who we are, and we must move into action. As you saw on the video, Cindy, who is our Impact City Coordinator, goes out with a team of volunteers, and we go to the police stations, fire departments, nursing homes. We go all the way out to the fire departments. We're going to the schools to do what? To do what we said our vision is all about. We believe we want to become one of the largest multicultural churches that reaches the lost, meaning we are preaching the gospel every Sunday. We want people to come to know Jesus. Secondly, that the largest multicultural church that reaches the lost and serves our community. That means that we don't ask them for anything. We don't need them to give me anything. We want to go as believers and show them that we love them. Why do we show it on the screen? It said, because people shall know you are my disciples by your love one to another. And it goes on to say, well, Pastor, why do you show it? Because the Bible talks about don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. But the Bible also, the same man said these same words. He said these words. He said, listen, when you go to do good, people will know that you are my disciples by the love you show one to another. They must see the light settled on the hill. They must see your good works and glorify my Father in heaven. That's why we do it. Ladies and gentlemen, as a church, there's not just a group of us going out. All of us go out. When you give, it goes into the giving that we do. Right now, we're about to just mob, flash mob, some places where people can't afford to even clean their clothes. Why? Because that's the love of Jesus in us. It's not just miracles. It's not just signs and wonders. I'm not pumping you up to see fantastic things only. I want you to get practical. Everybody say practical. That means that you also learn how to walk out your Christianity in a real practical way. That means sometimes not giving in to your instincts to do something. When someone cuts you off in the road, use all five fingers. Hello, somebody. Did y'all miss that? I see some people are still wondering about that. If you got it, raise your hand. Give me your five finger discount. There we go. Hallelujah. When you are persecuted for being good, rejoice. Rejoice. Because that means that the world is seeing something different about you. You know, don't rejoice because you're being persecuted because you did something wrong. No, that's not the time to say, I'm being persecuted. No. When you do well and people see your light and it bothers them because you're the constant reminder that there's another way to live. You're the reminder that God is love and you don't have to be angry all the time. You don't have to be negative all the time. You don't have to talk about somebody. You don't have to be mean to somebody. You can be kind to somebody. You can give a word of life to somebody. And they hate it because you walk in the office, you walk on the job site and you're smiling. And they're going, what you got to smile about? The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Come on. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Come on. Come on. Oh, y'all got it. Ha. It's so easy. Huh. 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 Everybody sing together. One more time. The Jesus in me. Come on. Loves the Jesus in you. Man, hey. The Jesus in me. Ha. Loves of Jesus. Everybody can sing. It's so easy. Come on, wave your hand like this. Come on. It's so easy. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Some of y'all are like, I don't know that song. I'm not singing that song. Don't know that station. That's why you got to have a multicultural church. Because there's some things, when you get to heaven, you're going to look funny. Because you're going to be like, what song is that? Ain't gonna sound nothing like Z88. It's gonna sound like LMNOP Q27. So we got to get used to not persecuting people by not giving all people the gospel, regardless of their race, regardless of their color of their skin, regardless of their background, regardless of their religion. We think, well, oh, you got a religion? Okay, well, I'll move on to the person who doesn't. No, the people who claim any other religion besides Christ need him the most. So we need to reach out to all people. Some people have a lifestyle in which they live a homosexual lifestyle or a lesbian lifestyle. And we go, you know, that's just too much for me. No, how can you not see that the enemy can blind a person their entire life till they believe they were born that way? Why not go bring them the love of Christ and say, you were beautifully and wonderfully made? If you look in a mirror, your body tells the testimony. You were born to be God's best. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people out there that are wicked and angry and mean because they feel they got to hold on to their money. They got to hold on to their cash. They've got to get over on somebody in order to feel good about themselves. But they need you not to turn your back, but to point them to Jesus. It is the practical side of Christianity. And when you meet people like that, the power comes with it. We share the love of Christ. If a man takes something from you on your job, steals your pens and paper, go find the man and give him a notebook to put the paper in. So, that was the weakest clap ever. People say, no, I'm going to report them, get them fired. The Bible says if a man steal from you your cloak, give him your shirt too. There's a motive inside of them you may not be aware of. But when you say clothes don't matter to me, pens and papers don't matter to me, if that's what you need, son, if that's what you need, daughter, here, let me help you put it together. It'll change their world. You know, my son went off to college, and he's not your typical preacher's kid. I made it clear to that boy, listen, you can't call yourself a preacher's kid. You either accept Jesus or you don't. You ain't gonna blame me if you don't live right. You mess up and you try to get over on somebody in my church, I'm gonna get over on you. Every man, woman, and child has to have their own walk in Christ. Every one of us. So I lay that balance with my children so they know that it isn't just about keeping up the Yates name or keeping up my father's name. And No. You've got a bigger father than me. Since my children were small, I would say to my children, who loves you the most? And this is how we would greet each other. I'd say, who loves you the most? And they would say, you? I say, no. I said, who loves you the most? And they would say, Jesus? I say, yes, but I'm a close second. Why? I'm setting up the atmosphere that I'm not the one you have to go to in the midst of your problems. I'm human like they are. I've been given a privilege of living a little bit ahead of them, but they're children of God, like I'm a child of God, like my mama and daddy are children of God. And so we don't hold offenses against our parents because they don't know him like you do. You've got to let even your parents' mistakes go. Because sometimes they weren't taught what you're getting taught in this room. Do you hear me? You may be online and across the seas. And you may have been exposed to evil in its purest form. But you can never overcome evil with evil. All it does is generate a comeback. I lived in a world where I didn't accept the Jesus in me. In my life, I fought everywhere I went. Literally, I was in high school known as Shade. That's what they called me. Because I would wear sunglasses indoors and at nighttime. The reason I did it is because I wanted to appear like I was strong. But if I took off my glasses, they'd really see my eyes, that I was afraid. But I fought and all of these things, but I realized a truth in high school. As much as I fought, it only generated one more person being angry. I realized everybody in my high school was related. What do you mean? Well, you fight this person, and all of a sudden, that's my cousin. That ain't your cousin. That's my cousin. No, they ain't your cousin. Now I'm fighting the whole school because everybody wants to be everybody's cousin. That's evil for evil. What if you just shifted for a second in your life and repaid evil with goodness? Someone cusses you out. And you take a deep breath, some of us deeper than others, and we look at them and we say these words, you must be having a hard day. I feel you. Any way I can help, anything I can pray for. Now you're steaming on the inside, especially if they cooked your food. But you have to let the Jesus in you, not just the miracle power Jesus, but the love that produces the miracle power come out of you. You can do it. You have the ability to stop the argument in your home. Because you can argue doesn't mean you should. I need you to hear me. You're having a bad day. We all get it. But your loved one comes in, they're not to blame. Sometimes it's because you're unhappy with you. You don't have to argue and push everything upon them. No, say out of love, you know what? Just so you know, I'm having a bad day. And it's not your fault, but I'm a little bit on edge, so please forgive me today. So they can be off the hook. That's really love. It's the little things that we do for one another. You know a way to show love? That's one way to show love to another person. But how about showing love to God? How do you let the Jesus in you show true love to God? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. We'll read it out of the King James. Why not? And when you're ready, I want to share this with you. This verse, if it pops up, it pops up. If not, you hear it from me. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. In other words, you got a PhD, you got PHW, XYZs. You're educated, you're smart, you're intelligent. But don't get excited about your education. It goes, let not the wise man glory. That's not the right verse, but one before that. Glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Meaning, I am a man of influence and strength. I'm a man who can command people to do things and they do it. I am the supervisor. I'm in charge of you, boy. I'm in charge of you, girl. You do what I say. Don't glory in the fact that you have authority over someone else. That's what the world does. Jesus says, among you, it is not so. Don't call yourselves rabbis. Don't call you. He says, you have one rabbi, which is in heaven. He says, don't call yourselves masters. You have one master and he is in heaven. Don't call yourselves fathers, for you have one father and he is in heaven. So he says, call yourselves brothers and servants. Meaning you can see the world clearer if you look through the lens of a servant. What do they need? Not what you want them to do, but what do they need? And the greatest among you in this room will be the ones who can show the world that you're the greatest servant. Because you're always asking of the ones around you, what do they need? You don't wait until someone commands you into position. If your boss is in trouble, you say, let me help them. What can I pray for? When we heard the testimony today, we heard about a young man who was there under authority, and he was supposed to do what they say. But he became not proud in his position, but a servant, and said, is your back hurting? Yes, let me pray for you. Even though you lord over me, let me serve you. And by the time he walked out, he was greater than those that were there. Do you see how this works? You must begin to apply this visceral truth that will cut through the anger and the selfishness that's in this world. Jesus is trying to draw people to him, but he uses you to do it. I want you to look at your hand for a second. Just put it up before your face. I want you to look at your fingerprints and see if it's unique. And I want you to compare it to your neighbor. Look at your neighbor's thumb and see if it's different. Take a look. Is it different? If you have a thumb, if you don't have a thumb, I did not mean to do this. If you don't have one, God grant it in Jesus' name. He can do it. Now, I want you to see something. Everybody has a different thumbprint, right? But I need you to go one step further. We've always focused on the thumbprint. But I want you to find somebody in the room that looks just like you. Look. Look around. No. No. I hate when they do that. Oh, gosh. For those online, two twins stood up today and tried to embarrass me. Thank you. As I was saying, each of you, even in your twinship, reflect an aspect of God that no one has ever seen before. You were made so different that you actually represent an aspect of His breath. Because when you breathe, you can never get the breath back. I want you to just take a deep breath. Let it out. That breath you just let out will never come back to you. It's gone. In the beginning, when He made Adam, He breathed into Adam the breath of life. That breath is unlike any other breath that was ever made. Every soul is the breath of God. All of you were made from one breath that will never, ever be made again. You are unique in nature, and you express a side of God's life that will never be seen again. That's why you must love one another. That's why He says, what you do to the least of these, you do to Me. Because everybody belongs to Him. And in Ezekiel chapter 18, He says, all souls are Mine. As the soul of the Father, so is the soul of the Son. All of them belong to Me. So having that understanding, we don't lord over people with our might and our influence. It goes on to say in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, it says, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Meaning, I don't want you to focus on how much money you have or don't have. It's not about glorying that, look at what I've done, I'm better than you. I've heard God speak to certain people and say that I am your portion in this earth. That's worth more than all the gold on the planet. I endeavor to live such a life where God says to me, you are Mine and I am your portion. That means whatever I need, I can get because He's the Father who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everybody that dwells therein. So if I need a hookup, a connection, God can hook me up to anybody on the planet because they all belong to Him. I want the Lord to be my portion, not a BMW. Not a Volkswagen, not a mansion, not a bank account. I want the man who made the universe and stunned scientists to this day. I want Him whom is without end or beginning. I need God to be real in my life. It's my portion. He's it. So what men steal from me, I still have all of it left. You can't take a piece of it and forget that the maker of it still can cut me a cloth that fits me perfectly. Come on. He is my portion. I want you to have that passion where the world isn't like it used to be. You don't look at it as give and take, but give, give, give. You know, a person who gives, they understand that their riches don't come from this world. Woo! I just said something. I'm going to give you the higher thought. People who are that have trouble giving, it is because they see an end to their finances. Is that right? If you have a problem giving and you're glorying in your riches, when you say, man, I only got $50 in my bank account, so I can't even help this person get a dinner plate. You see an end to your giving, an end to your finances, an end to your opportunities. People who are drug dealers think this is the only way I can get out of the hood. But that's because you've never been introduced to the God I know. He has no end of resources. But a person who is stingy, they're stingy not only in giving, but every area of their life. They'll be stingy in loving, stingy in kindness, stingy in sharing. They'll be stingy everywhere. I am not ashamed to say there was a day I was stingy. I have a brother and a sister. And when I would get me a Twinkie, you can hear the crackling of the wrapper, but you ain't getting none. I was like, this is mine. And I would hold on to that Twinkie. It was amazing. I remember seeing this video. This man said, here's a quarter. And he says, he brought this person over. He said, I'm going to give you this quarter. And he had like, you know, those round things where you do the tricks like that, right? And he put the quarter, and he put it up under that one. And he says, now, I want you to, if you can figure out where the quarter's under, you can have it. And he went, real easy. Real easy. And the person's like, yeah, huh, it's right there. They opened it, and bam, there was a quarter. And they were like, yeah! And what he did, he flipped over one of the other ones, and it had $1,000 right there. They were like, yeah! That's how God does sometimes. We pick what we think is going to bring us wealth, but it's the opposite of what we think. All the wealth is on the other side if you just pick the other way to live. Let him be your resource. He said, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories, glory in this one thing. And what? Put a verse up there, please. Verse 24. Let him that glorieth glory in this. Everyone read, please. Stop. What did he want? That you would understand and know him. It's got nothing to do with temporary things. He wants you to understand eternal things, that you know me, so that when you run against these temporary things, you're not stuck. Read on. In the earth. You want to know what makes God happy? The more you know about him. God is not pleased with ignorance about him. But he does get hyped when we learn who he is and what he can do. That's his joy. How many want to make God happy in this church today? I mean, really, who wants to make God really, like, happy? This is the easiest way to do it. Learn about him. Know that he executed loving kindness and judgment and justice in all the earth. For in these things, your God delights in. He wants you to know him. Ladies and gentlemen, as we walk and we armor up, we're talking about the whole armor of God, putting on the helmet of salvation. That idea that we know who he is. We know what's entailed in the salvation that took place with us. That he is the Lord of our life. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Many of you may have come to Jesus and he loved you through and you accepted him as your Savior. But I want to just challenge you today. Would you accept him as your Lord? Now, there's a difference. Because many times we can come to Christ as our Savior. He saved me. I'm changed. Yes. But that doesn't make him your Lord. To be the Lord of your life means that He is the only one that you will follow. He is the Lord, meaning He has control over the decisions you make. That when you do something, you go through Him when you start to think about how to do it. Because the Lord wants you to see from His perspective that you might know Him. That He is the God who executed loving kindness and judgment in all the earth. He wants to be the Lord of your life. That means when you're making a decision, we don't operate out of the flesh. We come out of the Spirit from His Lordship. I want you to ask yourself this question. What in this last week, if could I have given over to His Lordship instead of handling it myself? Think about that. Think about a moment this week where you were disappointed. Did you turn that over to Him, or did you hold on to it yourself? The Lordship of Jesus means, I will take what burdens you. Cast your cares upon the Lord. The Lord. Everybody say the Lord. The Lord. For He cares. Now, the word cares isn't just an emotional care. Do you understand? He cares for you isn't a term that means He likes you. It's deeper than that. The Hebrew meaning of He cares for you means He's the one that provides for you. He's the one that makes things work for you. He's the one that puts the pieces together for you. He cares for you. He is your caretaker. So cast your cares upon Him because He takes care of you. That's lordship. And if we're to walk in our authority with miracle power, signs, and wonders, it must be reflected in our everyday. Every day. Everyone say every day.
Every day.
Turn to somebody and say, every day.
Every day.
Some of y'all are looking at me. Don't look at me. Turn to somebody else. Say, every day.
Every day.
How do you say that in Spanish? Todos los días. Todos los días. You know what I mean. What is it? Todos días. Todos días. Am I knowing in German? No. He said, I'll ask Siri. No, Siri's okay. It's Sunday. Let her go to church. Siri needs church too. Every day, guys, we can't get up another day without Him, without His perspective, because we'll tear each other apart. Did you understand what I mean? When we walk without Christ, we are a mess. I'm telling you the true fuss. That's a Steve Yates original. True fuss. That's what we will do. We will fuss at each other all day. All day, every day. If we are in our flesh. I tell my wife all the time, if I don't seek heaven, I'll be hell on earth to you all the time. I have to have that relationship. You must begin to follow Him in that relationship. That'll take out the drug habit. It'll take out the smoking habits. It'll take out the anger habits. It'll take out the thieving habits. It'll take out the pornography habits. It'll take out the lust habits. Because the more you get in His presence, the more His presence will rub off on you. You'll become more and more like Him. Change from glory to glory to glory. Let not a man glory in his riches, his intellect, and his strength, but glory by changing from glory to glory to glory. You must become Him. Not look like Him, be you. You are the expression of Him. God ain't trying to change your personality and your likes. He's trying to take the negative likes out of your life so that what you do like is wholesome and helps you to grow and won't take from you. He's trying to make you a better you than you ever could on your own. He didn't want to take a thing from you. He made you this way. But we got to let him in. I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet. Then being a Christian really means being a Christian. We don't fight each other. We don't gossip about each other. We don't commit adultery on each other. We don't victimize one another. We don't scare one another. We don't treat each other bad. We love as we have been loved. You know where you came from. How many know if it wasn't for God? If it wasn't for God, where would I be? If he had not come into your life, well, Pastor, I'm not perfect, but think about where you are now. If he had not come, where would you be now? He doesn't want your money. He didn't want your fame, your fortune. He wants your heart. He wants to become the Lord of your life. Then the miracles are easy. We pray for the sick because we have life in us. And we reconcile a broken world back to God by giving them gifts of healing and miracles. But that's not what it's about. It's about being whole in Him. Some of you are discovering that. Some of you may not have accepted it yet. But can I poison a way of living for you? Don't walk out of here ever again thinking you're normal. You know too much. What I just shared with you will not let you go back to the old way of living. It won't allow you. You can try, you can force it, but no, and nobody will know but you that there is better for you. And you can't go back. Come forward in Christ. The greatest gift you can give to God is consistency of forward movement. Not a spurt. Not a sprint, but live like a marathon. That you're pacing your walk, consistently growing in Him. Don't hop. Listen, I know about church hopping. I know when someone offends us, we are easy to run and hide. But what if the church were more forgiving of others' mistakes? Some half of you, maybe, would not even be here. Pastor Steve, why would you say that? You lose your church. It ain't my church. It ain't mine. It's his. And you can go from that church to that church to that church. It's still him. Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to hide? If you've made your bed in death itself, he'll be there. It's about forgiveness and reconciling men to God. That means you have the right to do so. Who is it that you aren't forgiving? Who is it that you still let a little grudge keep it harsh and cold between you? I want you to let it go today. It may be a wife, a husband. It may be an ex. It may be a pastor, a preacher, policeman, firefighter, mechanic. It could be your sister or your own brother. It could be me. Would you let us go? Just let us go. Because the only reason you can't move forward is because you're holding on to a moment in the past. While we're moving on, you're stuck. Would you bow your heads for a second?